Today is the second Sunday as we discuss prayer. Last week we talked about how to listen to God in prayer. Today is how can we know it's actually God we're hearing and not something or somebody else when we think we're hearing God in prayer. The topic is, if God is speaking, how can I recognize His voice? I met with a pastor this last week, an area pastor. He called me and said he had a problem he wanted to discuss. His church had been through some rocky times lately, and they felt like they needed a big win to create some excitement and enthusiasm. So they decided to hold a capital campaign to raise money for an outreach effort. And the capital campaign would unify the church and create a new sense of momentum to reach out into their community. And one of the first things they had to do for the capital campaign was decide on what the target would be of how much money they would like to raise. And we're going to pray for God to provide. So he asked the elders to spend 2 weeks thinking and praying about what the goal for the capital campaign should be. Then they met at an elders meeting, and the pastor shared with them that he'd been praying about it, and he'd done some research. He had checked into the giving patterns of the church down through the last 10 years and the median income level of the community around them. And he said, after praying, I feel the Lord led me to a number of $750,000 for the goal. And the other elders nodded their head, and it seemed like a good goal to them. Then one elder who was also the treasurer spoke up and said, did God give you that number? And the pastor said, well, I asked God to guide me. I prayed about it. I researched it. I feel comfortable with this number. But did God speak to me? No, not exactly. So the elder who was the treasurer said, God gave me a number. And that number is $1.3 million. Now, if you're paying attention, that's about double the number that the pastor thought would be a good goal. So he pushed back on it a little bit and said, well, what do you mean God gave you the number? Well, I prayed and God put this number in my mind very clearly. And as they talked about it, the other elders said, well, he's the treasurer. He knows our finances. And if he says God gave him a number, he must be right. So they announced a goal of $1.3 million. They worked very hard on the capital campaign for 6 months. A lot of people were excited about it. Then they came to the end where they collect all the people's commitments of what they're going to give over the next 3 years and have a celebration banquet to celebrate the results. Only the banquet wasn't so much a celebration. They didn't get commitments for $1.3 million. They got commitments for $450,000. So instead of being a big win, that felt like a huge loss. And people were discouraged. And the pastor said, Dick, even though I didn't really support that goal, I'm being blamed for it. Then he looked at me and he said, Dick, what should I have done when a fellow elder said God spoke to him and gave him a number? Good question, isn't it? What do you do when someone comes to you and says God spoke to them? How do you respond? Now hold on to that, because I'm going to come back at the end of the message and tell you what my response was, okay? Have you ever had that kind of situation where you had to make a big decision and you wanted God's will, so you prayed and you prayed hard and you prayed regularly and you listened to God the best way you knew how, and then you did what you thought God wanted you to do, and it blew up so badly it left you injured? And you're going, how could I have been so wrong? I thought that's what God wanted me to do. I mean, is God really speaking? Can I actually even recognize His voice? And maybe it left you gun-shy about trying to listen to God in the future. You ever had that kind of experience? Probably most of us have at some point, where we thought we heard God and we got it pretty wrong. The question isn't, do we speak to God? The question is, does God speak to us? As comedian Lily Tomlin once said, why is it when we say we talk to God, they call it prayer, but when you say God talks to us, they call it schizophrenia? You know, I got to tell you, 40 years in the pastorate, so many times people come to me and say, God told me, and what they say is so bizarre or so unbiblical, I'm pretty sure they are schizophrenic. So which is it? Does God talk to us, or is it just schizophrenia? Well, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways. But now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. The Bible says God spoke long ago, and He does speak today. He sent spokesperson after spokesperson. He sent prophets and priests. He sent angel messengers. He sent His written word in the Old Testament, and we still didn't listen. So God sent His Son. God came Himself to call us to Himself. And at Jesus' baptism, a voice of God thundered from the heavens and said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to Him." And God's voice still calls to us today and says, "Listen to me, listen to my Son." But if God is speaking, how can we recognize His voice? How can we know it's really God we're hearing and not our emotions or our imagination or something more sinister? If you've ever struggled with how to hear God's voice and how to know it's God's leading, then join me today as we explore that concept. The first point is Jesus speaks to me in many ways. And isn't that good to know? We just read the verse in Hebrews, Jesus speaks, God speaks to us in many ways. Because if God spoke to us in just one way, we might miss it. If He spoke to us in just one way, we might misinterpret it. So God speaks in many ways. He so desperately wants us to hear and understand what He has to say. There's four primary ways God speaks to us. The first is through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to me through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I myself have told you." Jesus promised He would put His Spirit in us so His Spirit could talk to our spirit and personalize truth. So would we remember all the things that Jesus said that are recorded in the Bible, and we would have the truth we need right when we need it because it would be personalized by the Holy Spirit. Now, think of it this way. All of you use electricity in your home or your apartment, right? Well, where does that come from? Your electricity comes from giant electric power generating stations. And that power that's generated then goes through transmission plants that handle hundreds of thousands of volts of electricity. Now, if all that electricity hit your house all at once, you would be incinerated. You wouldn't have a house. So after the transmission plant, the electricity goes through transformers that step it down. So by the time it finally goes to the individual wires that go to your individual houses, it's 110 to 20 volts. So you have the right amount of electricity at the right time in the right place, and that's what God's Spirit does. It takes 100,000 watts of God's truth that would incinerate our minds if it hit it all at once, and it breaks it down and delivers it and personalizes it individually. So we have the truth we need from Jesus' teaching, and we have it when we need it. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "For His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, speaks to us deep in our hearts." God promises that His Spirit will speak deep in your heart. Have you ever read a verse of the Bible that you've read dozens of times before, and all of a sudden it comes alive, it jumps off the page, and you're seeing new insights and new applications, and you knew God is speaking to you right at that moment through that verse? Has that ever happened to you? Probably. That's the Holy Spirit making it come alive and showing you the part of that truth from the Scripture that you need when you need it. See, the Holy Spirit can bring a verse to your mind. The Holy Spirit can trigger your memory file for the verses you've memorized so you can locate what you need when you want it. The Holy Spirit can guide your thinking. The Holy Spirit can nudge your conscience. The Holy Spirit can bring another Christian to speak a truth to you. There is many ways for God to speak to you by using His Holy Spirit to take His revealed truth in the Bible and package it and present it to you just how you need it and just when you want it. He speaks through His Holy Spirit. Second, He speaks through His Word. Now, this is not in order of importance. He speaks through His Word. That's the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and teach us to do what is right. It's God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped, for every good thing God wants us to do. Now, while God may speak in many ways, God's Word in the Bible is the first, the last, and the most important way He communicates to us. Now, God's Word should be the first place you listen because, as the verse we read just said, it teaches us everything we need to know. It shows us what is true and what is right and fully equips us for every good work. So God's Word is the first place you go to listen for God's voice. It's the last place you go to listen for God's voice. After you've talked to everybody else and you've gotten their advice and their input and you've read books on it, then you compare all those voices to God's voice in His Word to make sure that what you're hearing is really God's voice. Because if something those other voices are telling you contradicts the Bible, then it's not God's voice speaking. Because what God is telling you will never contradict His Word in the Bible. And that's why it's so important that we are regularly and personally studying the Scripture. Because that is the primary way, of the many ways God speaks, that is the first, the last, and the most important to hear His voice. Are we clear on that? Okay. Third, God speaks to me through the church, through His church. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Dear brothers and sisters, you know these things so well that you are able to teach others all about them. The Bible says that we are in the church to be teaching each other. He expects the church to speak to each other and to speak His truth into each other's lives. That's another reason we need to study the Bible, so we know His truth, so we can speak the truth into each other's lives. Now, has God ever spoken to you through the praise team during the worship time? He speaks to me most Sundays, I'll tell you that. Has God ever spoken to you through a Sunday school teacher or an Awana leader at Children's Church? Probably. Has God ever spoken to you through one of your small group leaders or an accountability partner or a mentor? Hopefully He has. Because God's goal is that we, the church, are so immersed in His Word and His Spirit that we can speak His truth. He can speak to us through each other. The fourth way that God speaks is through answered prayer. Answered prayer, Isaiah chapter 58. When you call, the Lord will answer. Yes, I'm here, He will quickly reply. The Lord will guide you continually. And why is He answering and guiding you? Keeping you healthy. Now that's God's promise to you. When you pray, He listens and He will answer. Why? Because He wants to keep you spiritually healthy, and you don't know that means you've got to hear His voice and respond to His voice. That's why this topic, these 2 weeks, is so important, to hear and respond to His voice. And if you missed last Sunday where we talked about how to hear God in prayer, I hope you'll go online on our website and listen to it. But some of you are saying right now, okay, I can believe God communicates in many different ways, but Dick, I have gotten it wrong so often. And so badly, I don't have any confidence in my ability to recognize God's voice. I am gun shy. I just want God to show me, give me a sign that it's really God speaking. God, do something so I'll know it's your voice. Because I don't trust my judgment. You ever felt like that? Well, you're not alone, because one of the Old Testament heroes, a man named Gideon, felt that way. And he prayed and said, God, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. Just do something, God, so I will know it is your voice and not my emotions or my imagination or something else, or I'm not fooling myself. You ever prayed that prayer? God, give me a sign so I'll know it's you? So let me ask you, how well did that work? Probably not very well. Why? Well, first of all, God never promises to give us a sign so that we'll know it's his voice, because he gives us some miraculous sign. In fact, Jesus spoke against people that were always wanting those kind of miraculous signs. But the second reason it probably didn't work for you is it's just not convincing. God gave Gideon a sign, and guess what? He didn't believe it. He said, well, okay, you did what I asked, but maybe that was just a mistake or coincidence. Maybe it wasn't God after all. So he had to ask for another sign. So asking God for signs doesn't work, because he doesn't offer them, give them to us, and we wouldn't believe him even if we got them. So why doesn't God say, okay, if you want to know it's me that's talking, I'll give you a sign so you'll know it's my voice? Why doesn't he say that? That's our second point this morning. Because Jesus wants me to recognize his voice. He's not going to give you a sign that says, yoo-hoo, this is me, because he wants you to know his voice so well, to listen to him so often, that his voice is familiar and you can recognize it, just like you do when you pick up the phone and you recognize the voice on the other end. Now listen to this passage. It's Jesus speaking in John chapter 10. And it's a fairly long passage, but I want you to hear his heart in it. Jesus said, a shepherd enters through the gate, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. He calls his sheep by name, and they follow him. Why? Because they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't recognize his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as a father knows me, and I know the father, and they listen to my voice. My sheep recognize my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Jesus said, my sheep listen to me so well and so often and hear my voice so regularly that it's familiar. They recognize my voice. You may have been discouraged in the past, but Jesus says you can recognize his voice if we intentionally build the habit in our life of listening to him, in listening prayer like we talked about last week, in listening to him through his word. We can learn to recognize his voice so we know the difference between his voice and our own emotions or imagination or something else. We not only can recognize Jesus' voice, he expects us to recognize his voice so that we can follow him. So the question is, how can I get better at recognizing Jesus' voice? Okay? Well, we can get better at recognizing Jesus' voice the same way that we recognize anyone else's voice. It's through practice of listening to it. That's our next point. My recognition improves with experience. My recognition of Jesus' voice improves with experience. The more you listen to his voice, the more you experience his voice, the better you will recognize it. The more time you invest listening in prayer and listening in the word of God, the more familiar his voice will be to you. Like hearing a voice on the other end of a phone. Now, will you always recognize Jesus' voice with 100% accuracy? No. But stop and think about it. You don't always recognize the voice of the person on the other end of the phone, do you? especially if it's a cell phone and the call is somewhat distorted. And sometimes you don't know exactly who it is. So why would we always think we're going to completely recognize God's voice? I have four children, two daughters. And if you knew my two daughters, Arielle and Christy, you would not mistake them for each other. Arielle is like her mother. She's tall and blonde and blue-eyed. Christy follows me. She's shorter and brown-haired and brown-eyed. They don't look anything alike. You'd never confuse them, except vocally. I mean, their voices are so close. And they have the same inflections, and they use the same words. We've been their parents for 35 years. And when we pick up the phone and they just start talking, we have to guess which one it is. And I've been known to say, "Hi, Christy," and her go, "This is Arielle," or the reverse. And what we have to do is listen long enough so that we have a context of what they're saying, and now we know who's talking because of the context of the content. So my point is, if even people that we know around us, we don't always get it completely right, especially if it's a weak connection on the cell phone, why do we think we would always get it 100% right with God? That's just not even realistic, is it? But when I get it wrong with my daughter, I don't get mad at my daughter. And I don't stop talking to her. I just say, well, I guess I've got some room to grow in the area of recognizing my daughter's life. I better pay better attention to it. Doesn't it make more sense for us, rather than getting mad at God when we make a mistake recognizing his voice, we get mad and we stop talking to him, we stop listening? Doesn't it make more sense to say, I guess I've got room to grow there, Lord. Help me to do a better job of listening and get better recognizing your voice. You with me on that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you all want to hear how to recognize God's voice, but first, I want to talk to you about how not to recognize God's voice. Now, I want to be clear. What I'm addressing is, I'm not saying God can't speak to you this way. I'm just saying you can't know it's God who is speaking to you this way. Just because you hear something through one of these three ways, that doesn't mean it's God talking. Let me give you an example. God can talk to me through my wife, Nancy. He does it regularly. 47 years of marriage, I've learned to listen to my wife, and sometimes that's God talking to me. But just because my wife is talking to me, it doesn't mean God is talking to me, okay? Pretty sure my wife tells me lots of things that are not God speaking to me. Do you get the illustration? God can talk to me through my wife, but because my wife's talking doesn't mean it's God. So you can't recognize it's God speaking through these three ways. First, I can't recognize God's voice by feelings. The Bible never says to listen to or to trust your feelings. Time and again, it gives stories of people that did trust their feelings and they got it very wrong. Like in the Old Testament, the time King Saul was going into battle, and first he wanted to offer sacrifice to God. That's a good thing, right? But he listened to his feelings instead of listening to God, so he did it wrong. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 12 and 13. Samuel says, "I felt obliged." Did you get the feeling statement there? I felt. "It was the right thing to do to offer the burnt offering myself before you came." "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. God wanted Saul to wait until Samuel, the prophet, got there to give the burnt offering. But Saul listened to his feelings, and his feelings lied to him. He got it wrong. And if we listen to our feelings, we will be wrong more often than right. So, very often, very frequently, people come up to me and said, "I prayed for God to show me what to do, and I know I made the right decision because as soon as I made the decision, I had this feeling of peace that washed over me, so I know it was God." You ever felt like that? You ever said that? Well, I felt like that, even when I made the wrong decision. Why? because that feeling of peace may not be from God. The peace is, I finally made a decision. I don't have the stress and worry of making a decision anymore. So I feel peace. You get my point? The feelings can come from anywhere. God never promises to give you a feeling of peace as a sign to confirm that that was His voice. Because very often God's voice, the things it's telling you are things that are difficult or dangerous or scary. And you're not going to feel a sense of peace. When God tells you to stay in that marriage and work through the problems rather than bailing. When God tells you to pay off your debts rather than declaring bankruptcy. When God tells you to stay in that ministry, what you're discouraged in or having conflict problems on, and to hang in there. When God tells you to meet with that person you have a conflict on rather than burying it or pretending it doesn't exist, and to work for personal reconciliation. When God tells you to speak to that friend, that neighbor, that coworker about your faith in Jesus Christ, sometimes the things the voice of God tells us can scare the dickens out of us. Why would you think He's going to give you a feeling of peace at that point? See, that's asking for a sign. If you need a sense of peace, that's asking for a sign. It's His voice, and He doesn't promise that. We all know our feelings can come from lots of different places and can be affected by our physical condition, our attitude, the amount of stress we're under, how tired we are, whether we're not feeling good, whether we're discouraged, right? I'm pretty sure that most of the things that my feelings tell me when I'm discouraged, the things my feelings tell me to do when I'm discouraged, are usually not from God, and I have to fight those feelings down. Have you ever done something that felt right and then said later, whoops, it felt right at the time? Okay, case closed. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's God speaking. Now, can God speak to you through your feelings? Yes, He can. I think God speaks to me through my feelings several times a day. I mean, it may be an experience of His presence. It might be a sense of His love. I call those things love notes, you know, and I try and be sensitive, alert to love notes from the Lord all during the day. But if God wants to give me a content message that's do this or believe this or don't do this or don't believe this, it's not going to be through your feelings. It's going to be through one of the four primary things we talked about. The message will come through the Word of God, through the church, through answered prayer, or the promptings of His Spirit. If God does speak to your feelings, it will only be to use your feelings to confirm a message that He sent through one of the other channels. Okay? So just because you feel something, you can't recognize it and say that that's God's voice. Number two is circumstances. Just because there's a circumstance, you can't say that's God's voice speaking to you. Now, the interesting thing is we only tend to look for God in two kinds of circumstances. We look for God in the really good circumstances. Yay, God! And we look for God in the really bad circumstances. Help, God! Right? And we kind of ignore the circumstances in between. Well, the Old Testament prophet Elijah had the problem. He had so many bad circumstances in his life that he was feeling abandoned by God. So God had to convince him to stop listening to the circumstances. First Kings chapter 19. Elijah stood there and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. God wasn't in the mighty windstorm. He wasn't in the destructive earthquake. He wasn't in the ferocious fire. He wasn't in the circumstances. It was the whisper of His voice. And if you and I are always looking for God in the circumstances of our life, we will be misled because God is not always speaking to us through the circumstances. He wants us to look past the ups and the downs of the circumstances. He wants us to look past the ups and the downs of the circumstances and learn to listen to His voice regardless of the circumstances of our life. I can't find a single verse in the Bible that tells us to ask or depend on God to speak to us through circumstances. If you can find it, please show it to me. And I think there's two reasons why God doesn't speak to us through circumstances normally. Number one, the circumstance can be misleading. You know, you ever had something you thought was a really good circumstance, and then you jumped into it and found out it wasn't good at all. Or you had something you thought was a really terrible circumstance, and as you lived in it, you thought, this is actually a good thing. So circumstances can be misleading. Number two, any circumstance can be interpreted many different ways. For example, there was a time when our church felt like we needed to expand our parking lot. Now, we had 17 acres, so we had a lot of room to grow on. But when we submitted our plans to expand the parking lot, the village zoning turned them down. And then they put all sorts of restrictions and requirements that would have made it financially impossible to expand our parking lot. So that's a circumstance, okay? My father heard that and wrote me a long letter how that was God telling us that our church was as big as he wanted it to be and it shouldn't grow. Because God was saying, stop. They won't give you the zoning. Stop. Some people in the church said, well, Dick, maybe that means it's the wrong time. Let's wait and build a parking lot later. Or we need to come up with another plan. How about if we use a shuttle bus from somebody's house to get people to the church? Okay, so some people said the zoning means stop. Others interpreted that it means try something different, or this is the wrong time or the wrong plan. I interpret it to mean God is saying, amp up your faith and prayer and persevere. Okay? Same circumstance, three possible ways of interpreting it, all by good and godly people. If you try and listen to God's voice in all the circumstances of your life, you will drive yourself crazy. Not just because you can't necessarily read whether the circumstance is good or bad, but because you can interpret it in different ways. By the way, we persevered and we got the parking lot. Okay, so I was right, nah. Actually, it doesn't happen that often, so I have to tell you about it when it does happen. Now, can God speak to you through circumstances? Yes. But like feelings, that will never be the primary way he delivers his message. It will always be secondary. It will always just be to confirm a message that you got through one of the other four ways. Just because a door is open doesn't mean you're supposed to go through it. And just because a door is closed doesn't mean you're not supposed to work to open it. God actually never promises to open and close doors to direct us. Sorry to tell you that. Okay? That doesn't mean he can't open and close doors, but if he does, it's confirming the message he gives us different ways. So I can't recognize God's voice through feelings or through circumstances. Number three is by religious appearance. Religious appearance. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light, so it's no wonder his servants can also do that. The Bible says that just because someone sounds spiritual or acts religious doesn't mean you can believe what they're saying is God's voice. Just because they wear certain vestments or have certain titles or have certain degrees, just because they graduated from seminary, just because they're standing up on a platform doesn't mean it's necessarily God's voice, because we are fallible people. And in addition to that, Satan creates counterfeit voices. And there's a lot of counterfeit spirituality out there right now, even harbored within the evangelical world, that are not solid Bible-believing Christians and that will teach you bad theology and lead you in wrong directions. There's counterfeits out there. But listen, you all know there's counterfeit money, but that doesn't make you stop using money. The fact that there are spiritual counterfeits doesn't mean you stop listening to God. It just means you get good at identifying the difference between the counterfeits and the real voice. So you can't trust that it's God's voice just based on who it is coming from. Can I repeat that? You can't trust it's God's voice based on just who it's coming from. Even from me. Because not everything I say, it's not inspired, it's not infallible. Okay, three ways you cannot recognize God's voice: your feelings, your circumstances, and religious appearances. So finally we're at the point you've been waiting for. How can I recognize God's voice? Ask yourself five questions. Number one, does the content match what God has already said? Does the content match what God has already said? This is a biggie. You see, the only wireless network that will always and only bring you God's message, the only wireless network that will bring you God's complete message and God's accurate message is the Bible. Every other way that God speaks to us is secondary to the Word of God. We study it not so we can memorize God's rules, but so that we can recognize God's voice. And so we can compare all the other voices to the voice of God through His Word. And as I said before, if anything you think you're hearing doesn't agree with the Word of God, then that voice is not God speaking. End of story. That means that a very important prayer for all of us to pray is from Psalm 119. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees in God's Word. I will study your commandments in your word and reflect on your ways. Teach me your principles from your word. To align my actions with God's voice, I need to listen to God's word until I recognize His voice in His word and can recognize His voice in my life. It's too easy for people to take a few verses out of the Bible and misinterpret them. It's too easy for us to misinterpret the things when they're taken out of context. So we need to know heaping helping doses, huge chunks of the Bible, and understand it in context, and have large parts of it memorized so we can draw it and the Holy Spirit can pull us to our attention when we need it, because that is how we recognize God's voice. The more you hear God's voice in His Word, the more you will recognize His voice in your life. Second question, to recognize God's voice, ask, does the style sound like Christ? Does the style sound like Christ? Every person has their own style of speech, their own tone of speech that fits their personality. That's how you recognize their voice. It's not just the sound, it's the style and the tone. And God's voice has a certain style and tone to it as well. What's Jesus' style? His brother James tells us, James 3:17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no partiality and is always sincere. He says, if it's God speaking, if the voice is for Jesus from heaven, it'll be pure and peace-loving. It'll be gentle and yielding. It'll be full of grace and mercy and sincerity, and it will result in goodwill and in good deeds. And if the voice that you think you're hearing from God does not reflect those voice style, then it's not from God. If it lacks grace and mercy, if it's not promoting peace, if it's not willing to yield, if it's not gentle, if it's not promoting good works and goodwill, then it's not God. Someone can quote the words of God from the Bible, but if they're angry and harsh and demanding or bigoted, those might be God's words, but that's not God's voice. And there's too much of that happening in our world today, where God's world is being used in divisive and destructive ways and angry ways that is contrary to His voice. Learn His style. Okay? We're to be wise as servants and harmless as doves. We're to be the peacemakers of the world. Okay, that's the style. Let's talk about tone, because everybody has different tones. I would be a millionaire if I had a dollar for every time Nancy was upset with me. I'm not done yet. Every time she was upset with me and I said, but I didn't say anything wrong. And she said, no, it was your tone. Yeah, I'm not the only one, am I? Okay. Tone is important. Tone no matter. What is Jesus' tone? Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, after Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who had real authority. The tone of authority, the weight and the wisdom of his words made an impression on people's souls. They said, wow, there is something supernatural about this. This sounds like it's from God. It wasn't wishy-washy. It wasn't ambiguous. It wasn't whiny. And it wasn't psychobabble. It had the tone of the authority of the living God, the weight of the words that impress your soul. So when you think something is devoid of God, say, is that his style? Is it pure and peaceable and gentle and merciful and creating goodwill and good deeds and gentle at all times? And does it carry the weight of the tone of the authority of God in it? The next question to ask, to identify and recognize God's voice. Number three, is the message supported by wisdom? Is it supported by wisdom? Proverbs 3:21, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. God gave you common sense and discernment, and he expects you to use it to help recognize his voice. So when you think you heard something from God, you say, does this make sense? Is this reasonable? Does this fit with what I know of God and know of God's will in the past? Does this fit with what God has taught me? You apply common sense that God gives you. You apply discernment. And we learned how to do that last week. We called it the prayer of directed evaluation. Remember that? The prayer of directed evaluation, where you say, God, guide me, give me wisdom. Now I'm going to think through this and I want you to guide my thoughts. Some of you are saying, I'm not really good at that whole wisdom thing. That's okay. God says he'll help you out. James chapter 1:5. If you need wisdom, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. God says to me, ask for the wisdom, then think it through, and I will give you wisdom, and I will help guide you. You say, well, Dick, but how do I work the process? That's the whole sheet here. That's what we're talking about. You say, does this fit with what I've learned about God from his word? Does this agree with what other people in the church are teaching me and telling me? Does this agree with the promptings of this spirit within me? Does this agree with the prayers God has answered in my life so far? Does this sound like the tone and the style of Jesus speaking from what I read of Jesus in the Gospels? And does this make sense? Does it sound reasonable? Does it sound wise? Fourth way, question to ask in recognizing God's voice, is my analysis confirmed by consultation? Consultation, Proverbs 11:14, with many counselors there is safety. Proverbs 13:13, people who despise advice will find themselves in trouble. If I need a decision and I'm asking God to guide me, if I think I'm getting an important message from God, I almost always run it by some trusted spiritual advisors because I don't trust myself. Now, when I had my own church, I would run it by maybe the whole group of elders or some of the elders, but I also had a kitchen cabinet, a small group of it varied between 3 and 6 men who'd been my friends long enough to know me, who wanted the best for me, and who had the wisdom, and I could trust them. And at various times, it might include a Trinity professor or a Moody professor that went to our church. And I'd say, this is what I think I'm hearing from God, and this is why I think I'm hearing it. What do you think? They always helped me make a better decision. They would probe and ask me questions about my assumptions. They would probe to check for biases. They would give me questions that would force me to go deeper and think deeper on the issue than I ever would have on my own. And you know, if they said, "Dick, wow, that sounds like it fits you, and that sure sounds like the voice of God, and I can see nothing but good things coming from that," then I was usually able to move ahead with a high level of confidence. On the other hand, if they said, "Dick, I'd think twice about that," I always thought twice about it. And it saved me a lot of heartache. Because none of us is infallible in recognizing God's voice. We recognize God's voice better together than we do individually. Doesn't that just make sense? That's why you have a plurality of elders rather than just one person that leads you. Because they can hear God's voice better together as a group of elders than individually. Okay, the final way to recognize God's voice. The first one was, does the content match what God has already said? The second, does the style and tone sound like Christ? The third, is the message supported by wisdom? Fourth, is my analysis confirmed by consultation? And number five, will this draw me closer to Christ? We sang earlier, "I raise the white flag and I surrender," right? All for you, Jesus. Will this draw me closer to Christ? Remember we had the long scripture reading in John 10 where Jesus said, "My sheep recognize my voice." Well, what he said is, "My sheep recognize my voice so that they can follow me." The result of hearing and responding to God's voice is a deeper and richer experience of his presence and his love and his power. The result of hearing and responding to God's voice is a deeper and richer experience of his presence, his love, and his power. Notice I did not say an experience of peace or an experience of happiness, because that's not what's promised. So, you've messed up hearing God's voice, and you've gotten gun-shy on it. That's okay. We all make mistakes. Stop getting mad at God. Stop listening to God and say, "Okay, I guess I've got room to grow and get better here," and start to plug in the truths that we've talked about, the questions that we have covered this morning, so you can grow in confidence. Look, you will never be 100% accurate in recognizing God's voice. You won't have 100% accuracy, but you can have dependable familiarity. And that dependable familiarity from listening to God's voice can cause you to live in a confident faith, knowing that you are listening and you're responding. And the whole point of this is not so, "God, tell me what to do and I'll go do it and cross it off my honey-do checklist." The whole point of it is following him, walking with him, listening to his voice so we understand and we learn his voice, we love his voice, listening to and responding to him so we learn to love him and enjoy him more and follow him more and be more close to the Lord, because that's what it's all about. Listening to the Lord is not just about getting life right. It's about living with the Lord, because that's when you get life right. Not because you're following rules, but because you're following Jesus, and that only comes from a relationship based on a conversation. And that's why this is so important. And that's why I invite you all to dive in on these 2 weeks and learn how to listen to God in prayer and learn how to recognize his voice. Because if we do that together as a church, we will unleash a level of spiritual power that will change this congregation and will change our community for Jesus Christ. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we don't want prayer as a way that we use you. Give me, help me, show me. We want to use prayer to know you, to recognize your voice, to feel the embrace of your loving arms. And as we listen to you, make our prayer a conversation between lovers, use our prayers to draw us to yourself, our lover, our Lord, and to follow you as our King. We ask it in your name. Amen.